Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah, welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, I guess some of us right now in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan Porth and myself, Robbie Stanley, here live at the Wholesaling Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Joe Rexrode is somewhere near Baltimore, Maryland. Joe, how are we doing?
Yes, I'm actually in Northern Virginia. Ooh. But that is within an hour of Baltimore, so not bad. Can you hear me all right?
We hear you loud and clear, Joe Rexrode. How was your trek up there yesterday?
Well, we don't have enough segments to go through all this. No, it was fine. It's a very long drive. The kids were mostly good. We got here pretty late last night. Got in time to watch Carlos Dunlap get a big sack.
Ooh.
Last night, you know, for the Seahawks. But I will say that real fast. So I'm in a studio right now. I'm actually in Dumfries, Virginia. So I'm in a studio in the basement of my little sister's house. Okay, and Brennan, my middle child, who came along with his sister, and his cousin Liam are both sort of the same ilk of mischief. So as I went to bed last night after driving Brennan all this way to see some family, they had taken some fart spray. You guys ever heard of fart spray?
Yeah.
Taking some fart spray and completely like in my room, like even apparently Brennan sprayed under the bed to make sure that my room was just covered in fart spray. So that's how it went.
Oh, the joys of being around teenage children. What a time. Oh, man.
I still fell right asleep, though. Don't worry.
Hey, there you go. Just you got to power through it. Speaking of that game last night, like, I'm upset that the Seahawks won because they never deserved to win wearing those highlighter colored uniforms. It just, you can't win wearing those, in my opinion. I'm upset at the Cardinals.
Those weren't the best.
Terrible.
Those weren't the best. No, but at least it was a good. I mean, it was a good game. I listened to obviously most of it, which actually helped the drive. But I mean, I was grateful. Like, we should all be grateful for that game on Thursday night, right?
We absolutely should. And of course, Joe Rexrode will be in the building on Sunday for the Ravens and the Titans. So, Joe, we are very much looking forward to your coverage of that and your coverage on theathletic.com.
Wow, thank you. Yes, absolutely. It should be, a very different scene from last time. I was in that stadium last January when, of course, a game that we've been talking about a lot this week, and Sunday, no fans. And I believe that they had – at some point, some fans, if I'm not mistaken, I'll check on that, but they are at no fans. So it'll be one of those, one of those scenes. Really, of course, the Titans have had just one game like that, the first one at home. So, you know, not the home field advantage, of course, that the Ravens are used to having, and no home field advantage other than just the fact that the Titans have to be in a foreign stadium.
Yeah, and, you know, looking ahead to this game on Sunday, getting close now, obviously here on Friday, I'm feeling better and better about the Titans. Now, I'm not still willing to go to the fact that they're going to win. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Pigskin, pick 'em, some interesting lines to get to later in the show. But, fellas, as we break down this matchup against the Titans and the Ravens like we've been doing all week, the more I look at it, the more I think the Titans should be able to run the ball in this game, given some of the injuries that the Ravens have. Now, obviously, the Ravens are going to try to key in on Derrick Henry. We've talked about that a little bit this week. Every team tries to key in on Derrick Henry, but I think the Patriots showed a blueprint last week, especially given what the situation is right now for the Ravens on defense, that running the ball should be an option for the Titans and should be able to have some success this week doing so with Derrick Henry and the way that he's been going as of late.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, again, if you want to take this to just the strict injury situation, you know, Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, still both, you know, Campbell with a calf, Williams with an ankle, still both, you know, not participating in practice. you know, Dennis Pitta kind of suggested to us earlier this week that it didn't look good for those guys. I will say the Titans injury report did not get better Thursday.
No.
Like sometimes you see. In fact, it got worse. And one thing that's it's interesting on it to me is, you know, A.J. Brown was, you know, he wasn't even on the injury report Wednesday. You know, he's obviously has had the knee, has had certain things where he's nursing the knee, but now he did not practice Thursday after practicing Wednesday. Now, that could be planned, but that's certainly something to watch today. And then you add Kenny Vaccaro with a neck, but he was still a limited participant. Dennis Kelly goes from limited to not participating on Thursday, and then a whole bunch of all the same guys who didn't practice still didn't Thursday. You know, like Clowney, you expect guys like that to – it's more a rest thing to get back there. Roger Saffold, you would assume, you know, that he's going to try to gear it up and get back out there. Corey Davis was back, of course, you know, not injury-related from not being there Wednesday. But it is a massive overall list of players on the Titans side right now.
It is, and obviously that's concerning heading into the game. Now we'll see what happens and what the report looks like today as well, and how much of that is precautionary, how much of that is legitimately something to be worried about. But yeah, Joe, I mean, you get to this point of the year in the NFL, and this just kind of is what it is. We're midway through the year, and teams are bumped and bruised and all the different terms you want to throw out there. And you know, people talk about this in every sport all the time, how you get to a point where no one's really all that healthy. I think there is like a legitimate point in football, especially in the NFL in a season, where like nobody's out there feeling great. Like you're just out there kind of powering through, and some injuries obviously are worse than others. But I think you get to a point where if it was like me as a normal human being, I would be unable to play regardless of who the player was out there. Just the injuries in the NFL are inevitable.
No, it's funny you say this because I actually was thinking about this last night as I'm driving and I'm listening to that game, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just different listening. You know, I don't know. Maybe like your attention is actually more focused on the game because, you know, basically it's you know, you got the highway and you got the game. But there are so many stoppages for injuries last night. And every once in a while, I do think this, you know, if I'm at a football game, watch, it's like, man, these guys are just absolutely beating the crap out of each other, you know? I mean, like, look at what these guys are doing to their bodies, you know, to play this game. I mean, when's the last time, think back to, and it's not like I'm always paying attention, but, like, last time you were at a football game that there weren't several stoppages for someone rolling around on the ground in pain, you know?
I can't think of one.
Right. I mean, hey, so so that's, you're right. I mean, you get to this time of year, you get into like late November now, get moving, pushing toward Thanksgiving, and the injury list gets longer. And this is also where, I mean, depth is so important. You know, again, like for the Titans, Tyson Brailoe, having him available has been so key. I still think Isaiah Wilson at some point probably has to become a factor. But your twos are so important in this league.
Ryan Porter, are you still feeling very confident about the Titans heading into this game? You were not a sunshine pumper last week against the Colts. You ended up being right, yes, to say the least. It's probably a mild way of putting it. But you've been relatively optimistic this week about the Titans against the Ravens.
Yeah.
On the Friday before game day, do you still feel that way?
Yes, because they're not playing the Colts.
It's just as simple as that.
It's seriously just as simple as that. I mean,
they're playing a team that just trounced the Colts a couple weeks ago.
Kind of. Trounced is a stretch.
Defensively shut down the Colts, let's put it that way.
And forced Phillip Rivers on his backside.
Greatest play of the NFL
hilariously
season.
Yes. yes, I'm still optimistic about this game.
Okay.
I mean, I've been surprised all week that the spread was at like 7 or 6.5. It kind of hovered in that area. Now it's down to 5 or 5.5. You know, if Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams are out for the Ravens, I feel really good about the Titans being able to at least run the ball and keep their defense off the field.
Okay. I like it. I like the confidence, Porth.
So I'm feeling pretty good.
All righty.
So Porth, last year when the Titans went into Indy and flipped that game around, blocked the field goal, Derrick Henry takes over the second half, shot. Like, is it just pure shock every time for you, every time they beat the Colts?
Yes. even when Curtis Painter was the quarterback or Jacoby Brissett back in 2017. I savor every moment that they beat the Colts because I know it's probably the only time in like a 5-year span that it's going to happen.
Wow. They've won 2 of 3 in Indy. I just want you to know, but I'm going to set you up for next week. They've won 2 of 3 in Indy.
Okay.
He doesn't look like he feels any better whatsoever.
That's not convincing him? All right.
That's not going very well.
Not in this moment.
Hey, the Titans made it official yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this. Trevor Daniel promoted to the 53-man roster. Ryan Allen signed to the practice squad. So it's official, baby. Trevor Daniel's getting in there on Sunday. I am here for it. Joe, you get to see this in person.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to, you know, the whole world will stop every time the Titans line up to punt. And I'm thinking, even without Campbell and Williams, I'm thinking there's going to be a few punts. You know, this is still a very good defense for the Ravens. Now, you know, listen, technically, there could still be a switcheroo, right? I mean, they have Ryan Allen in the building. You know, so maybe today Ryan Allen's practice punts are just so majestic.
Just phenomenal.
So magical that it flips back around and he's the one out there. But yeah, it looks like it's gonna be Trevor Daniel. So hey, again, way more information than we have. We saw one shanked punt. I would be concerned that in that moment that shank happened. You know, because sometimes practice just doesn't translate to the game, especially in a pressure game like this. But we shall see.
The replies on Twitter to the Titans' official Twitter account of announcing this move are just legendary. And I don't have time to go through all of them. I will share my favorite one. This coming from @BacoTacos on Twitter.
BacoTacos.
It says, "I'll give Shanky McGee another chance, but I'm not happy about it."
Oh, Shanky McGee, Shanky McShankerson. Oh man, that's good.
These are the things that Twitter is made for. Twitter largely sucks.
Shanky FedEx McGee.
Shanky McGee. Oh man, I'm fine with.
I'm gonna go look at that now.
Got another reply that says, "I'm fine with giving second chances, but if he loses another game, the coaches need to be fired. You had one punter who had a phenomenal game, and we haven't seen him since." So there's a whole bunch of reaction on Titans Twitter.
I mean, Ryan Allen might have the best one game stint in Titans history.
He might. He very well might. He's pretty
good. He had one great game, and they said, "Get lost."
Tough. Like, if you translated that to, like, quarterback, like, that's like a quarterback coming in and throwing for, I mean, you know, again, 50.5, it's his net was like 40, but I mean, that's like a quarterback coming in and throwing for 350, you know, or, you know, whatever you, I mean, that's a big number, and that's a lot of punts. That's a lot of opportunities to screw it up that he didn't screw it up, you know?
It would have been like if back in, like, what was it, the 04 season when Billy Volek came in for one game? Billy Volek lit it up for like 6 games, but it'd be like if he had that Monday night game against the Chiefs where he threw for like 700 yards, and then they brought in another backup quarterback you know, off the street
told
because
him to hit
it wasn't
the road.
Good enough.
Get out of
just
here.
Said, Billy just didn't practice well enough. I'm sorry.
Sure. But that would have gone over very well.
By the way, I now am having flashbacks of picking up both Billy Volek and Drew Bennett at various times in fantasy leagues.
Hey, so at various times, those could have been both very good moves and very bad moves.
It would have worked great. Yes. Would have worked great for that Monday night game against the Chiefs, and then I think the next Sunday at the Colts, in which they got spanked,
just a dud.
But Volek threw for like 300 to Bennett.
Yeah, no, they had some weekends, man. They had some prolific. But, yeah, it's like I mean, it's like right now, it's like, hey, listen, Ryan, we appreciate you, buddy, but, man, Logan is looking so good right now in practice.
He's just
you know?
been
Let's
very,
give it a whirl.
Get out of here, Tannehill. We want to see what we've got in Woodside. When we come back, how will we feel about the Titans if they win this game? How do we feel if they lose? How much will this game specifically shape our opinion of what the Titans are going to be the rest of this season? We'll get to that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
When you look at the AFC standings right now and see that there's 5 or 6 teams bunched right there, and at the moment you guys would be on the outside looking in, does that add any urgency to the mission on Sunday?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're at that point in the season where teams are going to start separating themselves, and we want to be one of those teams. We need to start heading the right direction. Obviously, things haven't gone in the right direction the past month or so. So, you know, nothing catastrophic, but you know, if we don't get things turned around quickly, then you know, we're not going to be in a good position. So, we want to go out, have a sense of urgency, and start playing our best football and getting better, heading in the right direction as we get to the last stretch of the season here.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill talking about the sense of urgency needed from his group heading into this game against Baltimore. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. And we saw it, fellas, a year ago when the Titans had to play with a sense of urgency. They played pretty well, and for the most part, played well on both sides of the ball. Played the quote-unquote complimentary football that we're still searching for this season that we haven't really found a whole lot of up until this point. Joe, I'll start with you. How much will this game on Sunday influence your opinion on what the Titans are going to be for the rest of the season? They sit here 6-3 right now. They've lost three of their last four without Taylor Lewan in the mix. If they come out on Sunday and lose to the Ravens, and particularly if it's not close to the Ravens, how much will that change your opinion on what this team is going to be heading down the stretch?
Well, if they're not competitive in this game, I mean, that certainly doesn't bode well. Now, you know, this league, you can go through a 16-game schedule, and you're going to have stinkers for just about everyone, just about every year. Even really good teams sometimes have a few. But I think given the situation, when you talk about losing three or four, the urgency of this situation coming off what the Titans are coming off with extra time, there's a lot of things that line up here for them to rise up and play a good game. I mean, it'd be very, very disappointed if very, very disappointing if they are not competitive and bringing their best, at least in some aspects. Now, look, if they come out here Sunday and they lose because, I mean, Lamar Jackson is just great, and the Ravens also upset, also trying to turn their stuff around, just outplay them, and the Titans defense can't do enough, that'll be on brand for the Titans. You know, that's the problem with them. If it's that their defense just, you know, can't get enough stops in this game and they lose a close game, to me, that's, you know, that's not disastrous. You want their offense to get back to playing like it should play. And, you know, it's not going to produce big numbers against the Ravens, I don't think, but you want that to look more like it looked early in the year. You want the special teams to stop being a complete disaster like it was in the last game. And if those two things happen and they lose a close game because their defense can't get enough stops, then I still think it's like, okay, they're still in position, go win a game at Indy. But if it's an ugly loss, then you start wondering what's happening in that building.
I think so, and I think you hit on something important, and that is the offense in this game. We've talked a lot about the Ravens offense this week and the Titans defense. Offensively, you're going up against the Ravens defense, and even with injury, still a pretty good defense out there, and I agree, you're not going to be able to put up, you know, I doubt very seriously Tannehill goes out and throws for 350 and three touchdowns in this game, and Derrick Henry runs for a buck 50. Like, you're going to have to be able to make the plays that are available to you. And what I mean by that is when you have a corner route to Jonnu Smith that's open, you got to hit on it. When you have a catch, if you're A.J. Brown streaking down the sideline that hits you in the hands, you got to be able to catch that ball and make the plays that are available to you, because we've seen it when you're going up against good defenses like they did in Pittsburgh, like they did against Chicago, like they did last week in Indy. If you don't make those plays, that ultimately can end up hurting you very badly in the game. So this is, to me, a game where I don't think there are going to be a ton of opportunities for the Titans to score points, but when you get them, you've got to make sure you capitalize on those opportunities. And as you know, Joe, I include the field goal kicker in that as well. Got to make the kicks available to you.
Yes, and by the way, we got some shots that we're going to call. There's a good called shot for me there.
Oh boy.
That, Mr. Gostkowski will be out there on that field, and I do think that it's got to be close. I mean, it really does. Again, it's a matter of when are you okay going to the unknown from him. You know, I mean, that's really probably what it is. But I think if he has another rough day, and especially maybe if it's, you know, a late field goal to tie or win or something, and he pushes another 40-yarder, I mean, at some point, I mean, you do. Then I'm with you that you got to move on. But this is, I mean, the specialists in this game, talk about some serious attention every time they take the field to perform. And, you know, on that offense too, Robbie, to revert back to the injury report, like I said last segment, you know, A.J. Brown goes from practicing Wednesday to not practicing Thursday. Could be intentional, could be pre-planned, but that's a little bit strange to me. And Adam Humphries still not practicing, still in the concussion protocol. So the offense could look different and be far from whole potentially Sunday. I mean, I did kind of expect going into this week that this would be the rare occurrence of those top three receivers all being together, and it's looking less likely. So it may be a situation where, you know, guys like Khalif Raymond and Cam Batson have to come in and do something. Of course, Khalif Raymond has done some good things in that field.
He sure has. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, I think the goal is 8-5 going into the last three. This game would be a good springboard to get to that point, but it's not as important as beating the Colts. You really have to beat the Colts and split with the Ravens and Browns, and you'll be in a good position going down the stretch. So Tyler talking about the next three games they've got here against Baltimore, Indianapolis, and, of course, Cleveland coming up in a couple of weeks at Nissan Stadium. Tyler saying, you win against the Colts and you split against the Ravens and the Browns, you'll be in pretty good position at that point.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And look, if you're the Titans right now, or if you're a Titans fan right now and you're given the choice, you can win Sunday or you can win next Sunday. I would hope that poll would be 100% on, you know, winning in Indy, beating the Colts and putting yourself, you know, back in good position in that division race. You know, I think the Colts certainly have their work cut out for them this Sunday too. It's very possible that the Colts and Titans both lose. Colts playing the Packers, and if you get two of these three and one of them is Indy, I mean, you're going to be set up and in good shape moving down the stretch when the schedule, you know, gets a little bit softer in the last four. So yeah, and look, so flip it around on that. If you win this one, you know, you really have a chance to kind of reassert yourself, and that would be to me a massive confidence boost for this team. I don't know that it's collectively in the dumps right now or really lacking confidence, but you win this game, I think you really take some momentum into Indianapolis.
I think you do too. And look, I get it. A lot of the conversation heading into this game nationally is going to be about the Ravens. We heard Dan Orlovsky earlier this week say that the Ravens season is on the brink. If the Titans go in and win this game, does it tell you more about where the Titans are right now, or does it tell you more about the Ravens and their struggles? And I know a lot of that depends on what the game looks like, but let's just say it's similar to what it's been for the Ravens the last few weeks, and they can't move the ball as consistently as we thought they could heading into this season. The Titans defense gets some stops, which would just, at this point, I think, shock us other than the Chicago game. If they go in there and win on Sunday, does that tell you more about the Titans, or does that tell you more about the Ravens and just how far they've fallen here in the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, I can promise you the NFL take on that will be all about the Ravens.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the NFL take will be, oh, man, there's trouble in Baltimore. But I think, it'll be both, and it's the perspective. You know, the Ravens' perspective will be, you know, down in the dumps, and man, this is crisis level. But certainly for the Titans, it'll say something about them. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you can come off that loss with all the issues that are going on right now and go win this game, even though that team is struggling right now, I still think with the Ravens, you're talking about one of the top, you know, six or seven teams in the NFL. So it would still be a pretty significant achievement for this team.
When we come back, former Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard joined us earlier this week and had some interesting comments about the upcoming three-game stretch for the Titans. Do we agree with those comments? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. Ryan Porth very proud of himself right now.
That's very, very well done. Man, I hate meatloaf too, by the way.
The band or the food?
Oh, sorry. No, the band or the dude or whatever. The food. Love the food.
Big meatloaf guy.
We all love meatloaf,
yeah.
Right?
Big meatloaf
guy. We all love meatloaf, right?
Yeah. We should, anyway.
Meatloaf is an underrated, like, comfort food.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's underrated. I think it's properly rated. It's pretty good.
Some people don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's an overrated musical outfit. But that was good.
Wow.
Thumbs up from Dumfries, Virginia.
How is Dumfries, Virginia? How would you describe this town? I've never heard of it.
Good. Yeah, it's a nice little town. I used to live here, very near here in Manassas, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Lot of Civil War battles. Battle of Bull Run is right around here. Woodbridge, very close. So, my brother lives in Vienna, which is nearby. It's all, you know, very close to D.C. and it's a very nice area. But let me tell you, anybody in Nashville who during normal times has a problem with our traffic, and I do. I'll raise my hand. I complain some. Man, you come here and check this out. If you haven't been around here during any kind of business hour, any kind of weekday, it's unbelievable. I lived here in the 80s when it was bad, but now it's unbelievable how bad it is. So it could be worse.
How does it compare to Climax, Michigan?
Yeah, so Dumfries, Virginia or Climax, Michigan? Which one you taking?
I have been behind, I think, two cars at the one stoplight in Climax, Michigan, and okay. Had to wait, and that was very frustrating.
Traffic situation much better in Climax, Michigan, what we're saying. Weather probably better in Virginia.
Exactly.
Okay.
But pros and cons. The harvester is not here, so it's only in Climax, Michigan.
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. Joe, we were joined earlier in the week by former Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard, and he had some interesting comments about the upcoming three-game stretch here for the Titans. Here's what Wesley Woodyard had to say.
They got a tough 4 weeks coming up, man. These next few weeks are going to tell a lot about the season. They have to go 2-1 when these next three games, or the season is going to be really in jeopardy of not making the playoffs or definitely not winning that division. So they're a bunch of street rats. They don't like a pressure applied on them, but I'm going to apply the pressure on these guys, man. They got to show up. And we got to get at least two of these next three games if we want to continue to stay fighting and have a chance to get in the playoffs.
So, Joe, what do you make of Woodyard's comments there about how the Titans need to really go 2-1 in these next three games if they want to make a push towards the playoffs here and keep their season afloat coming down the stretch here? Do you think 2-1 is absolutely crucial for the Titans here in the next three-game stretch?
I think 2-1 is good. I think 2-1, you're happy about that. And of course, these guys can't think about any of that stuff or they'll go 0-3. But we can sit here and look at their schedule and look ahead and say if they go 2-1 to get themselves to 8-4 going into a stretch of Jaguars, Lions, Packers, Texans. I mean, look, you get to 8-4, there's really no excuse for not going 11-5, and there's no reason to think that they wouldn't go 11-5, because if you go 2-1 in this stretch, that means you figured some stuff out, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, it could mean that you got incredibly lucky on a whole bunch of weird stuff, but probably it means that you got some stuff figured out, maybe even got yourself pushing toward, you know, average on defense. So, I mean, if they win 2 of 3, they're in great shape. I will not agree that if they win 1 of 3, that they're toast. I think that'll be a lot of the talk around here. But, I mean, look, even if you are 7-5 going to that final stretch, again, you should win three of your last four games. There's no reason that you would not win three of your last four games. So you'd still be in position to go 10-6. Now, it is. It's also, and we've talked about this week, you can look around this conference at the records and the schedules ahead, and you can't feel completely secure at 10-6. But you also could absolutely still win the division at 10-6, to me, based on Indy's schedule and what Indy is. So I mean, a lot of different things, a lot of different ways it can go. But if you get 2-1, man, you're in really good shape.
Yeah, and look, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, we reached the point of the season where every game's going to be important. But if I'm ranking the next three games, I think the Ravens game is third on the list for me. Look, I still think the Ravens are very good. I think they're going to find a way to get into the playoffs. Their schedule coming down the stretch. I mean, like you said, Joe, you've pointed out probably 11-5 may be the worst case scenario for the Ravens coming down the stretch here. So while it'd be great to go in and get a win if you're the Titans in Baltimore this weekend, the Indy game and the Cleveland game to me are bigger games because I think the Browns are more vulnerable. But if you lose that game against the Browns, I mean, let's just look at their schedule real quick. I mean, the Browns have the Eagles this week, then they go to Jacksonville, then the Titans and the Ravens. After that, they got both the Giants and the Jets. So, I mean, some really winnable games coming up for the Cleveland Browns. I think it's crucial to get that game against the Browns. So, if I'm ranking the next three, I think the Ravens game, even though there's history behind it and Titans fans hate the Ravens, and I totally understand it, I think the Ravens game, to me, is third on the list of the next three games coming up, just in terms of importance of what this season's going to end up looking like for the Titans.
I agree if you're looking at it just in the three game. If you have to rank the three, I would have to agree, you know, because you're probably going to be, again, you can still win your division, but if you're in that wild card mix and you're going to be in both all the way, you're going to be right there, I think, battling with the Browns, who have that soft schedule you mentioned. And, of course, you know, we don't need to say why the Colts game is important. I'll also say, though, that, you know, you lose this game and it's 4-5.
Yeah.
You know, and at what point, you know, at what point does something become, you know, a tailspin or whatever word you want to apply to it, you know, a real problem, something that is affecting confidence, something that is affecting, you know, locker room. I mean, that's where this game to me is gigantic, is just in the, you know, put a stop to it. I mean, you've had some issues. You had a very disappointing, I mean, you can't look, you told anybody, like tell somebody when they're 5-0 that they're going to lose 34-17 in that showdown game against the Colts. And no one would have believed it, you know? So you come off something like that, you need to reverse things quickly. So that's why I think this particular game on its own, apart from the rest of the schedule, is so key.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And look, I mean, confidence is a real thing. People kind of overblow that sometimes, and they think, you know, they're professional athletes. You move on, you flush the last game. But if you get to a point where you've lost 4-5, and that's what it'll be if they lose this game against the Ravens, don't you have to, like, lose confidence at some point? Even if you won't admit it, even if you don't say it, isn't there, like, this human element involved in it where confidence has to be lost at that point?
Yeah, and also, look, these guys say the right things, and I honestly don't think that it's like they're just saying the right things, but then behind the scenes or on the sideline during games, it's like, you know, the offense is over there whispering about the guys on defense and pointing fingers at them. But look, if you keep losing and it's because one side of the ball just absolutely is not carrying its weight, then that wears on you too. Now, the Titans last year had the reverse of this, and they flipped it around, and we know what happened. You know, there's not some, you know, quick fix available on the roster where you just plug in one person and it like changes everything so dramatically. But if you keep losing and you keep losing kind of the same way, I know last game was special teams more than anything, but still, it's also the defense just not being able to get off the field, get you enough stops, you know, just give you just again the complimentary football. I mean, it's a real thing. And if it's the same thing over and over, at some point it's like, well, what are you then? I mean, you can't get stopped. You can't play good defense, you know? So if the Titans could win and have a good defensive game here, you know, that's also, if you could pick a way to do it by playing great defense in any of these games, that would certainly bode well for later in the season.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler texts in, if the Titans go 10-6 and don't make the playoffs, I'm definitely going to have to start a petition to disband the NFC East and their 6-10 division winner from making the playoffs. Tyler will be very upset if the Titans go 10-6, don't make the playoffs, and then like the Cowboys or whoever end up, I mean, the Cowboys can't go 6-10 now.
After all of these years of going 9-7, if they go 10-6 and don't make the playoffs, that would be so Titans.
Yeah, it would.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Didn't the Patriots?
One way or the other, I don't think it's going to happen.
Didn't like Matt Castle's year with the Patriots,
yes,
they went 11-5 and didn't get in?
Was it okay? I was going to say they went 10-6. Is that right? They go 11-5 and not get in?
I'm pretty sure they went 11-5. That was the year the Titans went 13-3.
How is that even possible to go 11-5, not get in the playoffs?
Yeah, this is where, I mean, really, like, I mean, the division thing at times is like, oh, man, you know? I mean, it really can skew things. And this is definitely going to be one of those years people point to with whatever. Whatever wonderful football team emerges from that NFC East and hosts a playoff game. This is definitely one of those years of like, gosh, maybe something different here. I'm not saying they should abandon the divisions, but you could do some things here to make it more equitable.
Yeah, the Titans in 08, 13-3. The Chargers got in a division winner at 8-8, but the two wildcard teams, the Indianapolis Colts at 12-4 and the Baltimore Ravens at 11-5. What a year in the AFC 2008 was.
My goodness.
Man.
And I believe the Chargers at 8-8 beat the 12-4 Colts,
yeah,
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Wow. Man.
That was 12 years ago.
Yeah,
depressing.
What a simple thing. But you got an extra spot now, so maybe that helps, 10-6.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like you have an extra spot and you have made the playoffs twice at 9-7 and you don't get in at 10-6 with the extra spot? Man.
That would be a tough pill to swallow. When we come back, what's the game plan for the Titans to get a win on Sunday in Baltimore? We'll go about how we would attack the Ravens on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, breaking down the matchup between the Titans and the Ravens coming up on Sunday. Our own Joe Rexrode will be at the Ravens game on Sunday. And Joe, as you look at this matchup, as you look at the game plan for the Titans, if you had to diagram a kind of a pathway for victory for the Titans on Sunday, what would that look like in your mind?
Well, I'd like to say just play the same D you did last year, and you know, you'll be in great shape. I mean, it's interesting because some of the Titans' defensive issues really are sort of minimized in this matchup. Not that Lamar Jackson isn't looking at this pass defense and thinking he can do some damage, but he's not going to be out there all day doing what Phillip Rivers just did to them and what some other quarterbacks have done to them with soft coverage and no pass rush. You know, this is a different kind of game. And so I think some of what you did, you do bring to this game. You tackle well, you set the edge, you rally to the ball. As we've talked about, you try to get him going laterally. And I think in this game, you really protect against the shot is, to me, more important and more, I think, more sound in a game like this, in this kind of matchup defensively. But on the other side of the ball, I mean, to me, you run the football, you know. I think this game is won because the Titans had a lot of success giving the ball to Derrick Henry. I have a hard time seeing them winning it if he doesn't have at least a pretty good game.
I would agree with that, and I think this game, more so than probably many others that they've played so far and will play down the stretch, I think it's important to get out to an early lead. I do. I mean, and you factor in, you know, the Ravens, how they've historically struggled since Lamar Jackson has been there, coming back in games. But maybe more importantly than that, the Titans offense just operates at a different level when they're either really close in a game or they've got the lead. They're able to open up their entire playbook. You've got Derrick Henry still being a major factor in that game. I think getting out to an early start, establishing yourself on offense, and being good enough defensively, because I don't have any grand illusions heading into this game in my mind, like the Titans defense is just going to come in and absolutely stifle this Ravens offense. I just don't believe that. Based on the body of work I've seen for the Titans defense this year, I still think the Ravens, even with the offensive struggles that they've had, will be able to move the ball against this Titans defense. But you've got to come up with some key stops, third down stops. If it gets to it, fourth down stops, which the Colts just killed them on last week. It's important to get out to an early start in this game in particular, because you can't get into a situation against the Ravens where they jump out to a quick 14-point lead on you, and you've got to start to abandon Derrick Henry as a part of the game plan. They've had to do that too much recently, and I think that's really derailed their offense. To me, it's more important in this game than perhaps any other game to really get off to a fast start and play your style of football. And when the Titans do that, I think they can be effective. If they don't, I think it's going to be a struggle on Sunday.
Right, and obviously the Ravens well documented how much they struggle when they do fall behind. And you know, they don't like playing with a deficit. Last year, a lot of times, not only did they not face deficits, they had huge leads by halftime of a lot of those games. And you know, those short yard stops, Robbie, I mean, that to me, if you had to point to one thing in that playoff game, it was those two fourth and one stops.
Yeah.
Where John Harbaugh's like, yeah, we're going. This is what we do. We run on everybody. And, you know, we're going to pick these up. And they didn't. And those two plays, you know, certainly the shot to Raymond and just the overall great night from Henry were massive. But those two plays, I mean, if you flip the results of those plays, you might have a different result of the game. So that is one thing. I mean, that's the one thing the Titans have taken from last year to this year is at least fourth and, you know, goal line or fourth and short. Now, obviously, they got the huge goal line stand against the Colts. I mean, they still have a knack for that. So that may come into play in this game too. And those are big moments. The Titans are stopping third downs more. They are not the worst team, you know, in the NFL anymore on third down. Did you know this?
Oh, yes. It's the Panthers now, isn't it?
It is the Panthers.
Yes.
The Panthers are now the team chasing the all-time NFL record. Oh, the Titans are also, you know, in that race too. But they've figured it out somewhat on third down. They've gotten better there. Problem is, like you said, some of those third down stops leave you with fourth and short, and they've been giving those up.
Yeah, and to me, Joe, and tell me whether or not you agree with this, but Tannehill is going to have, obviously, a much better game than he did in the playoffs last year, even though, I mean, Tannehill made the throws available to him last year in the playoffs. He just didn't have to make a ton in that game. But it's difficult for me to believe that you're going to go into Baltimore and win this game specifically with Tannehill throwing for like 100 yards like he did last year in the playoffs. It's just, that's not going to happen this time around.
Yeah, 7 for 14 for 88. That's definitely not going to happen. You know, and it's funny because I remember, yeah, that's one of those things where you're covering a night game and all these things are going on. And I remember looking back after the game, after the locker room, everything, like, he threw for 88 yards. You know, it didn't. Now, obviously, you knew he didn't have a big number, but I don't think Tannehill had a bad moment in that game. He had some incompletions, you know, but he was in control. And again, two of those seven completions are touchdowns, one to Jonnu Smith for a terrific catch, and then obviously that shot to Khalif Raymond that was so big that makes it 14-3, and that's when doom fell over the stadium, but also the Ravens were just put in a spot they're not used to being in.
Yeah, and that's going to have to change this week. Jonnu Smith, we'll see if he's a more involved part of the passing game this week, and A.J. Brown, number one, hopefully he's healthy because I think he's going to be crucial. He did not have much of a game last time against the Ravens. They was pretty much taken out of the game plan from the Titans. That can't happen this week either, and I don't think it will. I think A.J. Brown, maybe we've glossed over it, and the drop certainly doesn't help last week, but I do think A.J. Brown has made some pretty significant improvement from year one to year two. I would expect him to make an impact this week against the Ravens.
He's got too many media people saying he's elite, though. And,
that's true. Maybe reading press clippings.
Yeah, reading the press clippings against the Colts. Yeah, he's got a big bounce back game to me. That's a guy who, you know, you're not used to seeing him drop passes. And when you think about how big the one was in the outcome of that game and how the complexion of the game changes if he just hauls in a touchdown that's right in his hands. You would think that he would be very motivated to come out and make an impact. And again, maybe today Adam Humphries is out there and he gets through concussion protocol and he can go. But when you still get to Thursday, which was, by the way, 19 days after the injury in Cincinnati, and he's still not out there, you have serious doubts that he will be. So that's not ideal for this offense, but you got to find more people. And I think you hit on it. Jonnu Smith is a guy, whatever you can do to release him and let him go out and, you know, be involved in the passing game, you know, I think that really helps this offense.
For me, the best route to victory for the Titans is rattling Lamar Jackson and planting that seed of doubt that defenses are figuring him out, and I think the best way to do that is force a turnover or two in the first half and really make it an uphill battle. Not only get a lead, but force one or two turnovers in this game and really, you know, really rattle him.
This would be a great time for a big Kevin Byard game. This would be a great time for Kevin Byard to come in and make a huge impact in this game and force some turnovers, which he has been known to do, obviously, in his career. Doesn't have an interception so far this season. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, Joe. If there was a time for a Kevin Byard game, this one's it.
No question. I think Byard, if I'm not mistaken, Byard and Logan Ryan had picks in that game last year. And, you know, one of them is Lamar Jackson throwing a little too hard to his tight end, and he couldn't quite grab it, and you take advantage. You kind of have a gimme. But, yeah, this would seem to be one of those games. And I think back to the Josh Allen game when the Titans were able to throw some things at him and get some mistakes. That would be a big part. That's the one thing this defense has at times been able to do, really, to keep it in some of these games where it hasn't been able to traditionally get stops, get pass rush, cover well, but it has been able to find a way to turn teams over. And I agree, that's a big key here Sunday. That would be a big help.
When we come back, we'll dive into some college football. Our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, will join us, and we'll ask, what do we make of Hugh Freeze as a coaching candidate in the SEC, maybe out in Knoxville? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.